pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Yes, hope everyone had a great Labor Day weekend, long weekend. It does feel like Monday, but the good news is it's actually Tuesday, and the weekend will be here before you know it. So to come on the program today, we'll hear from Steve Carey, warming up in the bullpen out there, running for mayor of Daphne. He'll join us. That's later on in the program. But joining us now, a friend of mine, comes on radio just about always very gracious with his time, and we're appreciative of that. State Senator Cam Ward of Alabaster joins us. Senator, how are you this morning?
Doing good. Thanks for having me back on, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. You are the go-to expert on the prison issue. When I talk to your colleagues and ask them what they think, they always defer to you. Governor Ivey with her proposal last week. Just your initial thoughts.
Well, I think, one, there was no surprise, you know, that she was looking at a leaseback plan. I think the biggest surprise was that nobody really knew where the sites were going to be. So I think that kind of caught everybody a little off guard because we just didn't know. You know, is it a perfect plan as far as the lease proposal? No, but I'm not sure there is a perfect plan out there. You know, the legislature, and I was at the forefront of that, we tried to pass it twice to the legislature. We failed both times miserably because everybody got in a political food fight about, well, don't close my prison, close his, or if you're going to build one, put it in my area, but don't close mine. And we couldn't ever get it passed. And that was unfortunate because I really think had we passed it, we probably could have done a better job on the financing, but we just failed to do that.
So now the lease program, it doesn't look like there's anything that could really stop Governor Ivey from going on as you guys are not in session, but does it seem like that is just kind of the inevitability here?
I think it is. I mean, we can't come back into session. I've had colleagues ask, we can't come back into session until February. What can you vote on or not vote on? And so one of the things, you know, it's going to be way out down, the train's going to be out of the station at that point in February. One of the things that's come up is maybe the budget issue, but they're not asking for any increase in appropriations. So they haven't asked for any increase, and they didn't ask us to do a bond issue. They've kind of structured it in a way that, unfortunately, the legislature is irrelevant.
Well, if you wanted to, you could pass a law or something that would forbid this from happening, but that would seem to be a little extreme.
Well, you would, and by that time, I mean, that's assuming how far is this gone by the time we're in February. And by the way, we go back in February, it takes a month, you know, to really have something that big through, so you're really talking about March.
But even if you got that ball rolling, there just isn't a political appetite for that, and the people... I think a lot of your colleagues, just from what I could talk to, kind of are happy with this direction.
Yeah, there's some who aren't. There's some folks who rightfully say, hey, look, we could have gotten it had the legislature did a bond issue, could have done a lot cheaper. And they're not wrong on that with the bond rates being as low as they are. But there's also a large group of the legislature that says, look, we don't want to take on a debt. We don't want to do another bond. Do a bond, do it for schools. And if they're going to do it, then let them do it.
Well, do you think this? We had one of your colleagues on last week, Senator Elliott from Daphne, and he says, you know, he's a freshman. He hasn't even had the opportunity to vote up or down. And a member, 30-year members are new or weren't around the last time this was tried. Is that a legitimate gripe?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Senator Elliott and anybody else who's any of my colleagues, but I will say this, you know, in the last two and a half years, so. Two legislative sessions, as well as the opportunity to pre-file for the next session. So we've had three opportunities, and yet I haven't seen a single other person offer a proposal up. So they gripe. I mean, there's some gripes out there that, hey, I wasn't around, so I didn't get a chance to vote on it. I want a chance to vote on it. Then introduce a bill. I did twice, and I failed, and I'm first to admit it. But introduce your bill then, and let's vote on it.
Well, some of your Democratic colleagues, they take issue with Anthony Daniels on Alabama Public Television this weekend that he's not against construction of prisons per se, but that the other parts of the problem, the other parts that need reform aren't getting their just due, that they need to be addressed as well.
No, he's not completely wrong. I will say that, you know, we before COVID-19 cut off our session, Jeff, we really and truly had, were moving along pretty well with some reforms. COVID-19 shut us off. The problem some on the other side of the aisle have is, you know, they join groups and go into court and say, look how horrendous these conditions are, look how bad they are, you know, the ceiling's falling in. But then on the next day on the floor of the legislature, they come back and say, we don't want any construction whatsoever. Well, you can't have it both ways.
Well, and it becomes, I think, an ideological thing that if you build new prisons, then it's just to incarcerate more people. And ideologically, we need to be looking at, theoretically, we need to be looking at ways that would lessen the burden on the other side, where deter people from crime or whatever that might be.
Yeah, and the reform part, yeah, you want more rehabilitation, more mental health. There's two things that I think is important with her construction announcement. One is that you're only going to still have around 15,500 beds, which you still have 23,000 inmates. So you're not building your way out of this by any stretch. You couldn't afford to anyway. Second, if tomorrow the legislature appropriated, say, $100 million for new mental health programming, there's nowhere to put them at inside the current facilities. There's nowhere to put them at. So at least, according to the governor's office, these new facilities will have areas where you can do mental health programming, addiction recovery, job skill training. You can do that, but you can't do it on the current facilities.
It's just a matter of having those facilities to be able to accommodate these things. It comes down to the other aspect of this, I guess, that new construction or none of these programs on the rehabilitation side really solve. It's the personnel stuff, right?
Got personnel issues, and right now we have a model where you mass warehouse inmates, and that makes us feel good. But if you're an officer working inside there, it creates it's a powder keg. You know, that's one of the biggest problems we have with those facilities. 400 bad people in one room, you can't possibly maintain public safety there.
I mean, isn't that the Department of Justice looking at these Eighth Amendment violations?
Yeah.
And the one that they pointed to in their last memo was, some guards that violated civil rights of some inmates there. None of these things we're talking about, prison construction, are the other side of that, the vocational training and all that, really addresses that problem. How do you figure that problem out?
Well, the problem is you're going to have, and we started this 2 years ago, but you have to continue. You've got to keep upping the pay for your frontline officers. That is the lowest paid law enforcement officer in the state of Alabama, yet it's hands down the most dangerous. So what are you going to get? You're going to have a lot of people who say, I'm not doing that for a living. Why would I do that? So it decreases the quality in many circumstances. And that's not saying all are bad or you have a lack of quality overall, but you do get some more bad seeds when you do that. You've got to pay them more, and you've got to improve the conditions you're working in, just like any other job.
If these questions will be addressed in 2021, but just looking at it, Senator, you guys got a lot going on for February 2021. Are you confident that this could get addressed?
It's got to be. If we don't address it, we keep getting these warnings, and Judge Thompson's order the other day he issued, the same morning she announced the construction release, he basically said in his order, I'm getting tired of fooling with y'all now. He's tired of dealing with us. And if we don't do something soon, he can easily put us into a complete receivership where the feds just take us over.
I mean, can he do that on his own? Or what's the process?
He can order it, but he starts the process.
And then I would assume the state would take it to the Court of Appeals or wherever.
There's actually a special court that hears this. A special court hears these and takes these on. And it's like a panel. But I will tell you, if the Department of Justice joins up with Judge Thompson, you're going to spend a lot of money and a lot of time that we don't have and probably end up losing anyway.
Do you feel like they're getting a little antsy at the Department of Justice at the U.S. Attorney's Office, and that's why we saw this uptick in activity?
Yeah, so we've been in court for a while with Judge Thompson, and the DOJ really upped it up with what they said. And, you know, when they get fired up and then they join with federal court, and imagine if for whatever reason Trump didn't win, what's going to happen? I mean, this is a friendly Justice Department. Imagine if a Joe Biden wins, what they're going to be like to us.
Yeah, and especially if you get some U.S. attorneys that agree with Judge Thompson, right? That it could be.
Or how about this? What if Joe Biden gets elected and it's Attorney General Doug Jones?
What does that look like? Then do you hit the panic button? Let's say it is President-elect Joe Biden on November 4th. Do you say, well, we really need to get something underway here? Do you look at a special session?
I've been ringing the alarm bell on this for a while. I mean, I think we've got to do something. I don't necessarily think you have to. I would like to see a special session, but I will tell you, COVID-19, we have some colleagues, one who was openly, hospitalized for several weeks. We have a lot of colleagues who would not be able to go into that building.
And then that it becomes a more of a logistical problem to get it done. But if you got to get it done, and you got to get it done as soon as possible.
I think we've seen a lot of groups working in the off season to say, okay, when we hit the ground in February, this is the routes we've got to take. These are the players that need to be at the table to come up with solutions.
Joined by State Senator Cam Ward here on the program. Some other things going on, Senator. As I said, that 2021 general session. It's going to be pretty busy.
Because we missed so much of this last one. It's going to be everything we missed before is coming back up, too.
You're going to have that the prison issue, obviously, but then you got redistricting, which is always a very hectic political time for the legislature.
I've served on that committee since I came to Senate 2010, and I can tell you it is very hectic, but this time even more so because of the feeling that we will lose a congressional seat.
But you got to draw everybody. All the members are interested in their lines as well. I mean, do you see that being a hurdle to get other things done because there's some self interest involved?
Typically, not. Most of your redistricting is done by the Joint Oversight Committee. Every member gets a chance to have their input, but the bulk of the work is done by the Oversight Committee and the two House and Senate chairs, the House and the Senate chair. But it's going to be a problem because you got seven congressmen. It's going to be musical chairs, and when the music stops, somebody's not going to have a seat.
But then there's also the possibility some of these members they're either really young, a freshman, or that they may go run for another office, and that might lighten the burden some.
Yeah, that's always a possibility, but it creates a lot of political intrigue you wouldn't normally have.
Yeah, but then getting to the other stuff, I mean, gambling is still out there. There are any number of issues. Everybody's got their priorities. I mean,
I call them the Groundhog Day bills. Gambling is just like Groundhog Day. It just starts every year. We start over the same conversation. I think several of us would love to see that get resolved and off the table, but you're going to have that. You're also going to have what will the final impact of the COVID-19 shutdown stuff be? One, on the budget, and two, legislation I'm sure will be coming from folks to say, hey, look, we want to put some restraints and some checks and balances on the executive branch's power to implement these executive orders.
Do you see that? Do you see that as it seems like a heavy lift to roll back some of the executive authority, but there's going to be a movement afoot. Do you see that having any success?
There's a lot of conversation going on. I hear a lot of members say, hey, I'm not saying they're completely wrong, and they did it within the rules they had, but at the same time, there needs to be a little bit more check and balance here because if you're not careful, one branch of government can make all the rules. And, again, nobody's pointing fingers at this governor or the last governor, but I think for the future governors, we need to be prepared.
And you mentioned looking at not just rolling back the executive authority, but the gambling issue, that there's this the governor did her task force, and there's like a fact finding document or something like that coming. Does that matter on the gambling issue?
It does, but the arguments are still the same. I mean, the Indian tribes they want to be able to open up a North Alabama area. They don't want a lottery being passed until they're allowed to open up, and then you had your two other. Three of the main facilities in Alabama say, hey, look, if you just promise to leave us alone and let us gamble the way the voters in those local amendments allowed us, then we're fine with that. We just want to be on an equal footing with the Indian tribes.
Yeah, and I, it seems like you said Groundhog Day. We talk about these issues
every year.
Every year, and they still are outlying out there. But who knows? It just seems it's going to be very tough this time around with everything else that you guys got to do.
There's a backlog. There's a big backlog of stuff that's going to be tough. But that's what we're there for. So go get it done. That's what you get paid to do.
Well, last question. We're winding down on this, that you mentioned not being able to do a special session because of the logistics and COVID. What if COVID's still a thing in February?
I don't know. And I don't think anyone knows the answer to that. But, there's some issues like gambling, like prisons, issues like that. You can't go in that building, one, with a third of your membership susceptible, but two, you can't go in that building and say, okay, we can't have the public in here because it's too dangerous. Well, you can't debate issues like that and not allow the public in the building.
But the three you always hear, though, you hear about liability immunity or some kind of liability protection, taxation on these COVID-19 benefits, and then these economic development packages are set to last the end of the year.
Those three, in my opinion, if you had a special session, is what you do with them.
And then maybe, do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I think if there's going to be one of those, particularly on the I was a co-sponsor on the liability issue, and I just think it's critically important that we address those. And again, how you structure the House has it much worse than the Senate because there's 105 of them in one small room. I think you'd have to get it worked out ahead of time that you've reached a consensus on those issues before you ever went into a special session.
Senator, we got to leave it there, but I want to thank you for making time for us this morning.
Hey, I always enjoy it. Look forward to coming back on.
We'll do it again real soon. That was State Senator Cam Ward on the program. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I love rock and roll. I keep on rolling with the flow.